Now is the winter of our discontent. Whether
Hey,
tis
Mark.
nobler to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous bullshit.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
All right, here we go.
Webcomic Beacon Newscast. Newscast.
No, I like that. Keep going, please. Okay. So here we go. Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon, episode number 152. This is the newscast for December 30th, 2010. I am, of course, your host, Ross Scott of The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. With me tonight is Alex. Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Hi, this is Alex Heberling of alexisguide.net.
And a special guest. We have two guests tonight. We have Mark Savory. Mark, how are you?
Well, hello there. Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Don't you also own a broadcasting school? Just a guess.
No, I don't. I would have more listeners or more readers. If I broadcasted, I would have more readers.
You just sound like you're ready to be like the scientist that tells the monster movie people that they're screwed. Can I just get a good, like, my God?
My God.
That's perfect.
Charlton Heston for you there.
Man wasn't meant to hold this technology. All
get
right,
your
also
hands
with
off me, you damn dirty ape!
Men weren't meant to hold. With us all tonight is Dern of Hello with Cheese. Ayo, Dern.
Ayo. Am I just getting Hello with Cheese? Can I feel like I'm also of the Cheese Cast, and I'm the business manager of Commission Comic, which you can find at commissioncomic.com.
Which, by the way, I learned, I don't know how to spell commission properly.
It took some learning.
Yeah, it took some learning. I always put in two M's or one M, whichever one you're not supposed to. I keep
it
doing
has a
I
C.
Always,
yeah,
two
I
M's
always think I'm
a
supposed
C.
to spell it wrong.
Yeah, well, it does start with a C. That's a fair point. Oh, and also in the background, keeping everything running smoothly and doing everything behind the scenes and some things in front is, of course, Fess. Hey there, Fess.
Don't look at me! Don't look at me!
Right. Well, he's back there somewhere. All right. So let's jump into the news, shall we? Let's start off with an article from The Daily Cartoonist in yet another of the deluge of apps coming out for the iPhone / iPad. There is now one from King Feature Syndicate, which has released an app called The Daily Ink, which lets you view your series of syndicated comics such as your Baby Blues, your Hagar the Horrible, even your Zits on your phone, on your iPad, whenever you want.
Well, the iPad version's not out yet.
Oh.
But it said it will be released shortly.
My apologies. Have you guys had a chance to toy with the app at all?
I don't dabble with apples. I have iTunes, and that's about it.
Yeah, fair enough. A smartphone.
Honestly, yeah, so I'm on the Android side of the fence, so I'm always a little bit annoyed when something comes out just for iTunes. I think if you're doing something like this, you need to parallel develop it and have it be for both platforms. I understand it's still going to be about another year before companies do start doing that, though.
Yeah. Okay. So I did poke around the app a bit. It's free, by the way, for those that are looking to go download it. It's a little clunky, a little hard to peruse around some of the comics, especially on the small screen. What do you know? We've seen and talked in the newscast lately a lot about all of these comics apps. Are comics meant to be viewed on the iPhone or on a phone?
Well, they're already small enough in the paper; they might as well fit on enough.
That's a very good point.
Well, the article talks about how legibility can be a problem, and you have to zoom and pan and pan and zoom. And if you have to go through all that effort, is it really? I mean, is this what comics people should be using the apps for?
I don't know anybody who would be that desperate to read Beetle Bailey. You know, that they would go through that. Now, on the iPad, that would be a
Sarge is fat. We
fish,
get it. Move on.
Yeah. Okay, I got some questions about this, though. I'm looking at it, and it's saying it has a subscription to it as well. What's
that? So it's kind of like the Hulu app where it's free. You can poke around it. But if you want to run subscriptions to certain comics and certain features, then you actually have to pay $2 a month or $20 a year.
By when they say certain features, is that like, are there comics that you can get for free, or it's like no matter what you get, you have to subscribe?
To be honest, well, they're still kind of it's not quite clear to me. I didn't have that much time to poke around it. There's a lot in there that's free right now. I think they're still trying to entice people, so they're making a lot free. I think the idea, though, is that certain things are behind the subscription. Kind of like right now, if you go to their site, you can see today's, you can see everybody's comics that are in King features, and you can go back like 7 days. But anything beyond that, you need the subscription for. So if you want to see some old school Beetle Daily, you might have to cough up some dough.
Sarge is fat then too.
Still fat. That's true.
See, I think the iPad would be a far better application than the iPhone or even the any small screen.
Well, they're
not really
going
to be able to read the comic properly.
Yeah.
Maybe they can start drawing them bigger and better like they used to back in the day. That would be nice.
So, yeah, I gotta say, it would be pretty cool to see like a little Nemo, you know, something that was always really big on the iPad.
Yeah, those were amazing. On the iPhone? I actually handled some little Nemo tear sheets when I worked at the OSU Cartoon Library.
Whoa.
And they were awesome.
Even apartment 3G.
Yeah, what type of comics are we talking about on this app? Is it all of King's features? So.
It's a lot of the strips and a few of the editorials, too. So you got a lot of strip-style stuff, and then you've got some of the more kind of, you know, one-panel kind of things. All right, well, we need to move on to other articles, so I suggest all of you out there take a look. And be sure to come on over to webcomicbeacon.com, where you can take a look and even weigh in on our discussions that we have over there in the comments on all the posts. We want to know what you think, so let us know. Moving on, Mark Waid of Boom Comics, I'm sorry, that would be Boom Comics, has jumped ship and is trying to focus more on his own independent, mostly digital work, he says, according to an article in Comics Alliance. By the way, this and most of the articles that we are talking about today have been drudged up by our own Eric/Drumos of Exern.com, EXIERN.com. So thanks to him for doing all that research for us. All right, Mark Waid, have you guys read his stuff? Anyone have any thoughts on this?
I used to read a lot of Waid's stuff, particularly when he was doing a lot of DC stuff. I've met him a couple times at conventions, and he's always – I was actually more surprised when he did go and say, I'm working at Boom for a while, because he's always struck me as a guy that's happiest – with a lot of open options. He's always been more of a freelance guy. But then again, he's also been one of the first guys to go to CrossGen. So he changes every 2 years, it seems.
Yeah. Now, this article is actually really interesting. He does a lot of kind of discussion about the industry in a very upfront and blunt way, in a way you don't normally see from a lot of industry-type people. Mm. He goes into...
It was a good interview.
Yeah, he goes into RIA and webcomics and really gets into that sort of stuff. And then he even talks about who is it that got ripped off on bootlegged on 4chan?
Steve Lieber.
Steve Lieber. Yeah, they even get into that a little bit. So they really do it's a really solid article. They go, man, it just keeps going, too. I thought I read the whole thing, but. Man,
yeah, it's really long.
I'm guessing this also goes over his was at the Harvey Awards that he gave that speech, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
well,
Harvey Awards.
It touches on that a lot. Where do you want to talk about that, Dern, real quick?
Just basically summing it up is the Harvey Awards being one of the more classic award ceremonies. So there were a lot of DC and Marvel people in the room, And he basically told them all that you got to stop freaking out about piracy and get on board with digital comics more. And he's pretty much the only writer that I've seen that's gotten regular work from those two companies that has taken such a vocal stance about it. But he's always been a vocal person. Yeah. And I'm fascinated that he's decided to champion... I don't know if he's quite gone 100% web comics. I think he likes the idea of his stuff getting turned into digital comics.
Yeah, he's definitely on the digital stint. And I, anyone out there that's interested in kind of the backside of comics, the butt of comics, if you will, sure, check it out. It's a robust butt. All right, moving on to the next article. Activate. For those familiar with the Comics Collective, to raise money for monkey rescue centers. I love the intro to this article. By the way, this is on Newsarama.com. Some things just go together. Milk and cookies, aliens and predators, chocolate and peanut butter, comics and monkeys. So they're doing a thing called Panels for Primates, the Activate Artist Collective. Is working to raise money for the Primate Rescue Center. Isn't that nice?
That's a nice thing to do. Oh, I guess.
I have to 100% agree with this. I have yet to write a comic that has not involved a monkey and
a monkeys are just... They go so well with comics.
I don't think I've ever put monkeys in my comics.
I've never put a monkey in my comic.
Now you're both stopping and thinking... How do I get a monkey into my comic?
It's true.
You want to know how you do it? You put it in there.
It's true. I don't know. I do a newspaper-style comic, and monkeys fling poo, so I don't know how I would get that to work.
Oh, you know, monkeys that's so just a fact of life, though.
You could go to the New England Zoo to see monkeys.
I just don't see a poo-flinging monkey in my comic.
Actually, you know what? I have to butt in here. I definitely can see a short story arc in which one of your characters gets said monkey, and it doesn't stay for very long because of the hilarity that will ensue, of course. I can totally see a short story arc in Autumn Lake featuring a monkey. I mean, I had a robot once.
So clearly, he's next.
I don't know.
Monkeys potentially could be the next zombie.
They're very geeky at the moment, anyway.
Well, as long as they're not the next Twilight, I'm okay with that.
Sparkling monkeys, I'm done. I don't care if they're poo sparkles and they throw it
at
you.
Oh, man, sparkling poo. Sparkling flying poo. You've heard it here first. Oh,
God. Twilight's ruined enough as it is.
All right.
Start ruining monkeys. Yeah.
Okay, so comic book resources. On to the next thing. Comic Book Resources has put out an article called Tilting at Windmills. Starts out, time's up. So yeah.
Just want to interject quick. Tilting at Windmills is actually a continuing column at Comic Book Resources.
I apologize.
The article is called Time's Up.
Yeah, it's called Time's Up. So yeah, I'm worried a bit. As we close 2010, there's no particular sign that things are heading in the right direction. Sales are soft and there are no periodical comics selling over 100,000 copies for three of the last four reported months, at least as the numbers are interpreted by ICV2, blah, 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 blah. Basically, you know, he thinks we're screwed. So here's the question. Here's the point for discussion. How screwed are we?
Wait, are we talking for-profit webcomics?
No. He's talking direct market. Printed books that are sold in brick and mortar stores that get their books ordered through Diamond.
Any of us
in that?
That is that statistic, but it's also the article is goes on to more of kind of the comic industry and looking at the economy and how it's affecting it. But yeah, it is mostly about direct market and print. It doesn't really touch on digital much at all. So the question is. You know, first of all, do you think that is this more of the kind of things are moving away from the old system, or is this the economy just not recovering yet?
I think it's a crappy economy, I don't think digital is a big factor here. I think it's a crappy economy and people just don't have money to spend on.
I agree with everything Mark says. It's that voice. How can you not?
But the digital market tanked like 20 years ago, and it's never gotten back to where it was.
You mean print market, but okay.
The print market. I'm sorry. Completely messed up there.
They didn't have a digital market 20 years ago.
Yeah, and the fact is...
It was called Tron.
Yeah.
Space Paranoids was the digital market.
Actually, if I may, I'd love to actually look at Tron really quickly. Tron, as a movie, absolutely horrible financially. It barely made money back. But what made it a successful franchise is it launched two video games that were amazingly successful financially. The comic book industry, what we're seeing right now, is we're not seeing a lot of new comic characters. When I say the comic book industry, I'm referring to the direct market guys, distributed through Diamond and that stuff. But what are we seeing is we're seeing those products later become movies. And they become movies because they're very high profile, very high profile comics that go that way. And what I'm trying to figure out, because one of the things that I'm wondering if this article touched on it, and I'm skimming through it really quickly, was with DC. Their entire offices, except their comic book producing offices, are getting moved from New York to LA so they could be closer to the movies. And they're essentially just leaving the comics alone because Warner Brothers, to be perfectly honest, doesn't care what DC does. They're just there to protect the copyrights and trademarks of Superman and Batman and Green Lantern and to get them there.
Well, look at what Marvel did. I mean, Marvel moved offices too to be closer to their Disney offices.
Yes, so, but their comic offices stayed in New York.
Right.
And again, I don't think Disney really cares about what happens in the comics. They might have a little bit of input, but they're not expecting to make a ton of money off of them. Honestly, if I were heading the comic department or the entertainment department of either of those companies, I would try to make them more of a loss leader and increase the visibility. Why don't they have a Batman webcomic and a Spider-Man webcomic out there so that they become more and more ingrained into the public lexicon?
Well, here's something else. You don't have the outlets that you used to have. Back in the day, you could go down to the drugstore, the Five and Dime, the supermarket, whatever, and there were comics. There was a rack of comics, and you could go buy them there. And now it's all... or mostly, it seems like direct specialty shops so that they can do more mature stories and stuff like that. So a kid today, where does he get his first taste of Batman or Superman? Does he go to that comic shop? If there's, yeah, I guess cartoon.
Probably
cartoon.
TV and movies.
So yeah. I mean, it's like by not distributing these things out there to where kids could be, if they don't have a specialty shop nearby, then, you know, that kid might not get a Batman for a long time. He might not get into Green Lantern at an early age. And that's the problem with newspaper strips right now, is that newspapers are dying off, and there are kids out there right now who have never picked up a newspaper in their whole lives. That's why
I would like to put an asterisk on the newspapers are dying off. It's a complete tangent, but past year, newspapers haven't been dying off. They went through a decline period because of a recession, because Craigslist cut into their classified ads. I'm actually very familiar with what's going on with the newspaper industry because I still work in it. The idea that they're going to be extinct.
But do you have a fedora with a press card sticking out of it?
I have a fedora.
Because I have one of those.
I just want to make it clear that while the comic page is having trouble in newspapers across the country because they're not letting in enough new talent and they're letting in too many zombie comics where the creators have been dead for a while, but the comic still goes.
Not actually. It's about zombies.
The newspapers themselves, most of them are still in the black and actually making money. So, yeah.
For now.
No, it's... newspapers have survived the invention of the television, the invention of the radio, the internet culture. It cut into a certain layer of their advertising, but they still have some dominance in other areas. It's just they had to adjust. And I know of a lot of papers that are actually doing better than they were doing 3 years ago.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting because I just see the other side of it. But
well, what it is you get a lot of internet and TV journalists talking about how newspapers are dying. And it's a suspect reporter in that situation. But that's off topic. But it's more what I look at is you look at why did Marvel get bought out by Disney? It was actually because it had nothing to do with what Marvel was printing at the time. It cut out the middleman for Disney to where they could get a lot of Marvel cartoons produced for the Disney XD channel. That was their main motivation for taking... Well, also, it screwed up a deal that Universal had with Marvel. And yeah. I think it becomes a visibility issue. Am I going crazy, or does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that digital comics have the advantage of right now, is that they have the ability to have near-infinite visibility.
And that's exactly right, and that's why we need like a digital Batman or a digital Superman.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? We need that out there so kids can see it and start reading comics, and
or we
perpetuate
need a
the industry
TV series.
Yeah,
I think we need to start looking in that direction. Start finding the web comics that can be turned into other properties that way.
All right, I was going to bring this up on the main show. But you guys do know that Cowboys and Aliens is a movie. It's going to be coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
They
don't want to call it a years.
They premiered it at Buttonomathon like a couple of weeks ago. So it's an unfinished cut, but
it's kind of one of those
absolutely
movies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't know how to feel about it because I do know some of the people that were behind the comic side of it, and they are some of the worst people of the entire comic industry.
That's
outside of Pat Lee. It's Platinum Studios. It's the guys that they just
they still own it. They didn't sell it off. They still do own it.
That was the only they've always held on to all these IPs.
Okay.
That was the whole purpose of their thing was
right.
Intellectual property.
They'll never give them up. That was pretty much why they went into business in the first place.
I mean, it's the same exact. These are the same exact people that got Men in Black made as a movie, and you guys, it's the same thing of looking up and seeing what happened to the comic creators of Men in Black. They got hosed.
Hmm.
Totally. Yeah. All right. So moving on. So for those that are interested in that article, go to Comic Book Resources. Look up "Tilting at Windmills" by Brian Hibbs. The article times up. Links will be in the Webcomic Beacon show notes, so be sure to go check that out. Moving on, Pigborn, which is a GoComics.com feature. By the way, you guys read Pigborn? Because I got to be honest, hadn't heard of it.
I've heard of his other comic, the other one that he does. I haven't actually read Pigborn. I'm aware of it.
No.
Well, okay, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, first of all. But second of all, it is freaking beautiful. I hadn't heard of it until I saw this article come up, and I actually went through and went and read a lot of the backlog. It's really beautifully drawn. Beautifully drawn. And a little racy for a big comic site like GoComics. In a way that is, I mean, I like seeing that stuff. It's good to know that they can do that sort of thing. But anyway, they have turned off comments on their site on GoComics.com for this comic due to the, I guess, racy nature that was appearing in the comment section.
that doesn't surprise me.
God, I'm surprised it made it this long. I'm surprised this is news, honestly, because, I mean, I feel like a lot of webcomic artists have gone through the whole, you know, do we keep comics or comments? Do we take off comments? That whole thing. I've heard that. I mean, that comes up in every, like, start your own webcomic, how to do a webcomic conversation, doesn't it? Like, do you do comments and all that stuff? Have you guys ever had any experience with irritating commenters?
No.
Questionable commenters? Does anyone comment on anything?
I really don't want to comment. I've been getting a lot of bizarre spam comments that have been, they'll get really complimentary, and then all of a sudden and it's robot generated comments, but then all of a sudden they'll get very annoyed at me, and they'll like chastise me.
I love those ones.
I gotta say, I love my commenters. They've been really awesome. One, especially the fact that my mom comments on every comment, so that's always funny.
My mom doesn't.
Yeah, you know, and my son,
my mom comments on them on Facebook, but not on my main site, thank God.
Well, like, what's dangerous is that my mom comments on them, and then people comment on my mom's comments. And that is where I start to wonder if I need to start censoring things.
I guess if I had more readers, I might have to censor some things. I haven't really run into too many problems with that.
Well, yeah. Maybe if you do the poo flinging storyline, then maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think Brooke McEldowney does another comic called Nine Chickweed Lane that's in newspapers. And that also is a very well-drawn, gorgeous comic, but it tends not to be quite as racy for obvious reasons. But it's worth a look-see if anyone's interested in his art. It's really good.
All right. Well, it's always good to see people whose art's good stuff, you know, getting some good comics out there. All right. Well, let's move on to the next article then. Where are we? There we are. So new apps may make it possible to find a new comic or build a following. So this is from Robot 6, which can be found as part of the Comic Book Resources Collective. Totally lost my place here. Well, they're talking about how all the new apps, we're back to the apps again, are making it possible to find new comics. I don't know. Do you guys think that apps are the way to go? I mean, I feel like we covered this, but
apps for individual web comics versus a collection of them, I think, is what the article was talking about. Like with that one print comic ones, it's basically an app for a lot of different print comics all together into one app. And I think they were saying that it's hard to find those individual comics unless they all had their own individual app. That's what I thought I was reading anyway. I could have been.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
Yeah, well, I gotta say, I don't think that's what apps are for. Apps, to me, are all about taking what you already like and getting more into it. I mean, that's what I've done with apps. Like, I was kind of into Twitter, and then I got the app, and then I became really into Twitter. You know, I was kind of into. What's that?
From a creator standpoint, I would just look at it as something to take my most hardcore fans and keep them locked in.
Yeah.
I don't want them to go find other comics. Sorry. I want you to stay with mine. I'm okay sharing. I'll share links with them and tell them go check out this comic from time to time, but that'll be through my website. Through an app, I'd rather just be, you know, pretty narcissistic, but that's what I'm there for.
Okay, is it just me or is app the new social media? Where it's like, before it was like social media, that's how you get new fans. Yeah, that's the thing. And now it's like apps. You need an app. Do the app thing.
Apps.
But it's
apps.
Not to get new fans. Definitely not new fans. It's almost a terrible way to do that.
I think Darren's right. It's to keep the fans you got and just give them something extra.
Amen. All right. Well, we're all in agreement. If you disagree with us, though, be sure to come on to webcomicbeacon.com or just yell at us directly. In fact, I'm on Twitter.
I will box you.
And
I will challenge you to a boxing duel.
I will gladly challenge you to a battle of fisticuffs. Yes, I will have at you even in a not so sexy way. So
I'm having at you.
So, just real quickly.
Yeah.
There was a site that I won't name because I forgot it, but I wouldn't name it anyway, that was basically stripping content from webcomic sites. And trying to make themselves a hub.
Yeah.
And therefore,
about once a month.
Which sounds like an app, only it was a website. But
there's been a lot of those, and they're unfortunately somewhat prevalent. And, I wish there was a way to do that right, you know, get the right permission and do it in a way that makes it worth it. But I don't think anyone's figured that out yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see that. I don't know why there isn't like a digital comics page, but I guess my digital comics page is Google Reader, you know, or the equivalent. But why hasn't someone made that look pretty yet?
Well, that's the thing. Cool. If it strips content and then people aren't going to your site, they're just going to this app to read comics. I don't know. I mean, that's something to mull over, I suppose.
There's no good way, really, to... It doesn't seem like there's a good way to sort of cut up the little pieces of the pie for everyone to get there, you know.
All right. We had a slight break in the recording because I forgot to switch over the file. So we're back.
Where'd we leave off? What'd we miss?
We were just starting the new section.
Oh, okay. So, found via Journalista on the selfpublishingrevolution.blogspot.com is an article about Selena Kitt posts that a few of her erotic fiction titles have been pulled from Amazon and pulled from their Kindle service. So the print and the digital, in other words, with no good reason and with a lot of bad customer service.
And no refund.
What's that?
And no refunds
for the people who had bought it for their Kindles and now can no longer read them.
See, that doesn't sound like Amazon to me.
Well, I don't know.
I think they've done it before.
They have done it before. They've
pulled stuff, but they've refunded for it. And they've pulled stuff and then gave it back.
Well, it's my guess that this is the beginning of being really angry and out loud, but as long as this article that we're reading hits enough people, it should probably spur them to action. That is how Amazon tends to react. But at the end of the day, they wind up doing the right thing as long as they're shamed into it. They're pretty good at being shamed into things.
Well, they are. I have a problem at this from the refund thing is really alarming for me because that is blatantly illegal. That if somebody paid for services, but the other half of this complaint of whether or not this should have been on or whether or not Amazon is censoring, they're not violating the First Amendment if they do decide to not sell this stuff. It's the government can't stop you from not selling this stuff. All the First Amendment stops.
Yeah, it's more how they're handling it than the fact that they're deciding not to publish it.
Right.
Because this is someone who has 50 titles available through the same service. But these three, apparently, for whatever reason, nope, they're not good. They're not making the cut. And that's the ones they're giving trouble over. Now, this just seems to me like the kind of stuff that we hear a lot with the iTunes store and just, you know, it's too big. There's too much going on that a lot of stuff falls through the cracks with these gigantic companies that are doing so much. Yeah.
I'm suspicious of this story, to be honest.
I am too.
Why is that?
Because the only source we're getting is from the author saying that this happened. Right. And I'm trying to find right now some other sources pointing out what's going on with this. Because the no refund part is the part that bothers me. If Amazon's doing that, they're completely in the wrong.
Right.
It just doesn't sound like Amazon to me. Because they'll publish anything as long as it's not about child molestation or, you know, certain topics, you know, anti-Semitic things.
Well, but apparently just incest
erotic
now.
Fiction, they have that all over their website.
This is actually incest erotic fiction that was they decided to cut back on.
Maybe it just stepped over a line. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they decided that there was definitely it does look like they have decided that is a line that they're not going to cross, and so they've decided to stop providing those. It is weird the whole removing titles from the Kindle, especially given that the Kindle needs no bad press right now. It needs to...
Yeah.
If it gets too much more bad press, it's going to completely go obsolete, I think.
Well, then transition to a slightly better news article about the Kindle. This via my mom calling me today. The Kindle now offers the ability to loan books out for 2 weeks to other people who have digital devices. So you can actually loan out something you've digitally bought to people for 2 weeks. So that sounds like the chance to actually share something that you like with somebody else in a way that you could not before. You guys heard about that at all?
I heard that other digital devices were doing that, and libraries were pushing Amazon to allow the Kindle to do that, because that's really a neat idea, is now you can sign up. There are some libraries are going to set it up so that you can sign up online and check out books.
My sister just got a Kindle for Christmas, and she's like, Alex, can you help me hack this so I can get library books on it?
That's something that some libraries are already doing. But not for the Kindle yet, but for other e-readers.
I believe the
check out an e-book. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's. Mm-hmm. I've heard of one library that's gonna go all digital, or that's what they hope to do, and just do e-readers and Kindle and stuff like that. If you can imagine,
it's the future. I think we can all agree it's
the
officially
future.
Yeah. Okay.
It really is.
And that brings us to a few final tidbits for this show. Dylan Harrocks, am I pronouncing? I'm probably ruining that. Is putting up a torrent of all 10 issues of Pickle, a comic book that he worked on in the early 90s, up for free download and also available via RapidShare and other places. And then nicely enough, he also offers a link. Oh, by the way, you can buy stuff here. But it is free and available for download. So free comics available via download. Have you guys done any of this? The putting your stuff out for free and download
my website.
It's called webcomics.
It's called a webcomic.
In a bundle.
Just come and read it.
I have heard of some people putting like PDF collections of their comic together for download.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing that. That's with your notes.
Yeah. I know
can't
some
give
people
mine
sell
away. They're already free.
I know some people will sell high quality PDFs. I think Candy does it. I think I've seen them for like they range between $2 and $5 for high quality like entire book PDF downloads, and I haven't seen anybody do it for free, except for the people that started with the book first versus the webcomic first. So it's kind of...
I don't know. Diesel Sweeties and Multiplex have both put out PDF versions of their stuff.
But Multiplex sells... I think Multiplex actually has his for sale. If you go to his site right now, because he just came out with a book, which is basically a reprint...
He's been doing ebooks for a while, though.
Yeah, he's been selling ebooks for a while. I don't think he has had it for free, though. I just wanted to clarify that.
Now I'm looking.
They may have been free when Wawio was still around.
Yeah, that Wawio thing. No longer. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He's selling the ebooks for $2 each or as a bundle on multiplexcomic.com.
I do know that the Machine of Death, when it came out as a book, they also had it available for free as a PDF.
That was slightly after. That's because it sold out on Amazon.com. So then they put up the free... And they're also doing a podcast where they're... Each week, I think they're audioizing a story. And
it's kind of like to have a sampling. Would sort of be like the free little mini comic you hand out at conventions, you know?
Yeah.
Just give a little free thing online, a little sample story or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, you know, it's one of those things, like, any way you can get your stuff out there, you might as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Keep your... Yeah.
Yeah.
We're starting to sound like the frogs in Pig Manhattan.
Okay, here's ultimately my whole thing on piracy and creators and obscurity versus profit. I did see a discussion about that. But I go back to Shakespeare. He never actually printed any of his plays. So he never sold that as merchandise. All copies of Shakespeare plays are because of piracy.
Ooh, that was deep.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, they were always done in quattros, is what they were called, and it was because of how they were printed, but they were always bootlegs.
Hmm.
Okay.
All all of his stuff was written down in bootlegs. And the original stuff that he wrote was memorized by the actors,
right,
and was written part for part.
Very Grateful Dead.
But also, you know, that's the thing. You, I mean, where you make your money then is, you know, the shows.
Yeah.
And you know what? Actually, our Ustream chat room did just bring up a great point that technically Shakespeare also didn't have a copyright.
Well, yeah.
So
we do now.
I wrote that Hamlet thing. You know, I wrote that. He stole it. It's mine. I want some money now. I wrote that Hamlet.
Need some shillings for your trouble.
Just a few
pennies.
I'll give you 2 pence.
Tuppence.
But my logic is that he didn't suffer from a lack of notoriety or lack of, he wasn't in obscurity because of it. He made sure people knew who the heck he was. He never put out an effort to stop people from pirating his stuff because it made more people show up to his plays where he charged admission for.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So it's the idea of the other medium. Get your money off of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Theater in the round.
Screw you, man.
We do have to wrap this up.
Yeah.
So on that note, I'm going to go over a couple of bits of information courtesy of the Webcomic Beacon.
Fess, if you please.
Yes. The Webcomic Beacon's Becky Beacon is now online, for those who don't know, but you should. Becky Beacon is the Webcomic Beacon's cover girl that appears on each of the episode's covers when an episode is released. You can follow her on Twitter at Becky Beacon, and she will periodically tweet about favorite webcomics or comics she finds promising enough to direct others to. And if you'd like Becky to take a look at your webcomic to see if she'll tweet about it, send an email to beckybeacon@gmail.com. This is as close to an official webcomic review section the Webcomic Beacon will probably ever have. Becky has decided that, you know, she wants a little bit more, I guess, FaceTime. But so Becky's picks will be mentioned monthly on the Webcomic Beacon's core programming, so they'll also get a podcast mention as well. And
is she single?
She is single, but I don't think she's interested in
somebody's
mixing business with pleasure.
Story of my life.
She's also a mute.
Also, for those that have not known before, you can advertise with the Webcomic Beacon on their main podcasts as well as the EPs and newscasts, except the EPs and newscasts are half the price of the core programming. That's right. If you'd like to sponsor...
That's because apparently we do no fact-checking.
If you'd like to sponsor the Webcomic Beacon podcast in any form,
folks,
you can advertise under Project Wonderful ads or sponsor a particular episode. For more information, go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise to learn more.
You could just give us money if you don't want your name associated with it. We don't mind. We take it. It's okay.
We do accept bribe money as well.
We do. I do.
This week's episode is sponsored by the letter 5, the number 7, and scotch. No. well, maybe.
Four Loko.
Four Loko.
And read my comic.
Right. Well,
read your comics, kid.
Ross Scott, save us.
Oh, God. Nothing can save us. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can through our website, webcomicbeacon.com, or through email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Of course, Becky Beacon is now on Twitter, as are pretty much all of us, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so follow all of us on the Twitters. Read our webcomics, please. 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 And with that, that pitiful shilling, we come to the end of yet another episode of the newscast. I again have been Ross Scott. This has been the Webcomic Beacon. Thank you all for listening and bearing with this holiday train wreck. Happy New Year to one and all. Merry whatever have you, and I got nothing. Peanut butter and jelly, folks. Peanut butter and jelly.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
unspecified deity of your choice bless us everyone.